The Washington Times once ran a story recounted by then First Lady Laura Bush. It seems that she and her husband were visiting with her in-laws, the former president and former First Lady. And as usual, her husband got up at 6 o'clock in the morning and he went to the kitchen and he poured himself some coffee and went into the living room and sat down on the sofa and propped his feet up on the coffee table. And this voice said, "Get your feet off my table." And former President Father Bush said, "Barbara, that's the President of the United States, the most powerful man on earth. Leave him alone." And she said, "I don't care who he is. I do not want his feet on my table." To which the president very patiently and quietly removed his feet from the table and put them on the floor. The moral of that story is, we all better listen to our mothers, no matter who we think we are. Another story today. There was once a new kind of airplane that was on its maiden trip. And as they're flying, they hadn't been out very long before they got out over the Atlantic. And the pilot's voice came over the loudspeaker. And the pilot said, "Now, I'm talking to you because I want you to be sure and be calm and not worry. Some of you on the right side of the plane, I know, have noticed that we're missing an engine over there. But that's okay. We still have another one there, so don't worry about it. And those of you on the left side of the plane have noticed that one of the engines has caught fire. But to you also, don't worry about it. We have another engine over on that side." But I do think that I want to draw your attention to something even a little bit more serious. If you look down the aisle of the plane, you'll see that a crack is forming that goes all the way from the front of the plane to the back. And some of you may be looking down through that crack and you see the ocean below. And if you have really good eyesight, you can see the little raft down there that was thrown out of the plane. And I just want you to know that as your captain, I'm speaking to you from that little raft. Now, some things shouldn't be joked about, and that's probably one of them, but I thought it was kind of cute to tell. And I particularly wanted to lift that up to you today because sometimes we feel like our life is like that story. Our plane is falling apart and the captain has deserted us. And that's just the way we feel sometimes about life. And if that's the situation this morning, I would suggest that you reread these words. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Rule number one: God is greater than all. That is our thought for this morning. God is not a captain who has abandoned us. He is a shepherd who is able to protect us, whatever may occur, whatever may threaten. So notice, first of all, God is greater than all. God is greater than even our temptations. There was an interesting story in the papers in England, in one of their smaller towns, about a fella who lost his job at the bakery because he was packing up pies and putting them in boxes to be carried out and delivered. And there was one pie that just didn't seem to quite fit in the box, and to make it fit, he just took a great big bite out of it. and squeezed it into the box. Well, he got fired. And he said later, I don't understand why I got fired for just taking one bite out of one pie. It wouldn't have fit in the box, and they would have thrown it away anyhow. But he lost his job because of it. Now, there are temptations far worse than food, although some of us might not think so. It helps for some of us not to work, however, in bakeries. We all need to know our limitations. That's why I stand up here on Sundays instead of working in a bakery. We have temptations that we face all of the time. But Jesus tells us God is greater. God is greater than even our temptations. But what if we happen to give in to temptation? What does that mean? Does God then turn his back on us? I don't think so, not from what we read this morning. God is greater even than our sin. I'll say that again. God is greater than even our sin. It would be good if we could always walk away from temptation, but we don't always do that. It would be good if we never tasted forbidden fruit, but sometimes that's hard to stay away from too. What if we're weak? What if we give in? Is it too late? Will God then abandon us? No. Because God and Jesus are the same. The shepherd is there to lead us, to comfort us, to feed us, to make sure that nothing happens to us, to protect us. So nothing can snatch us out of God's hand, even our sin. Kenneth Godfrey of Pine Mountain, Georgia, tells about his then 5-year-old son, Kevin, who taught him a lesson in forgiveness. It seemed that one Saturday, Kenneth was outside washing his car, and he looked over in his front yard, and there was Kevin, his 5-year-old, and the next-door neighbor's little boy, Drake, and they had branches, and they were fighting, sword fighting with these tree branches that had fallen down. And he turned to the boys and he said, boys, I think y'all better put down those branches and find something safer to play. Well, Kevin immediately put down his branch and started looking around for something else to play with. But Drake, the friend from next door, his eyes just lit up. And he got a good grip on that branch and he just whomp, hit Kevin across the face with the branch. To which Kenneth, the father, grabbed up his son, told Drake, get home, get out of here. And he carried his son inside where his mother was able to comfort him. And Kenneth turned around and stormed out the front door and walked across the lawn to his neighbors and banged on the door. Very slowly, the door opened, and there was Drake hiding behind his father's legs as his father opened the door. And Kenneth said, your son, Drake, just hit my son, Kevin, in the face with a branch. Don't you let your child come over to my yard anymore. And he turned around and went back home. A little bit later, things have settled down. The tears have stopped, and Kevin's been consoled and seems to be feeling better. So Kenneth goes back outside and picks up the hose and finishes washing his car. And Kevin quietly comes out and he comes up to his dad and he said, Dad, can I ask you a question? And he said, sure, son. How are you feeling, by the way? I'm doing pretty good. But what I wanted to know is, can I go over and ask Drake to come back and play with me again? And Kenneth says to his son, after what he just did to you, you want him to come play again? Thinking, can't this boy just work up some righteous indignation? And Kevin looks at his father and he says, but Dad, you don't understand. Drake is my very best friend. And I love him. Well, Kenneth, stopped in his tracks, and he thought about what his son said, and he said, I realized that that's the same thing that God would say. That's the same thing that Jesus would say about us. This is my friend. This is my friend, and there's nothing that he or anyone can do to take away the love that I have for him. So Kenneth takes Kevin's hand, and they go next door, and they knock on the door. The father comes to the door, and Kenneth says to him, my son has something to say. So Kevin looked at Drake, and said, Drake, can you please come back and play? And Drake looks at him, and he says, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. And Kevin smiles. He says, that's okay. Come on over and let's have a good time together. And Kenneth, after they moved away, wrote that his son taught him a lesson in forgiveness, that that's the way God would handle things. That if we did something that he didn't like, particularly if it hurt somebody else, he would still love us. He would still care for us. He wouldn't turn his back on us or ban us from his yard. And Kenneth went on to write that the last time they saw Drake was when they were moving out of town, and Drake came over to give Kevin a going away present, and he gave everybody in the family a great big hug. And as they're driving away, they see him standing at the end of his driveway, waving goodbye at them with tears streaming down his face, as Kevin, too, was crying to say goodbye to his best friend. That's the way God loves us. There's nothing that we can do that will make him take his love away from us. Nothing. He will always love us. You don't understand. You, each one of you, has a best friend that loves you and loves you dearly. We're talking about a relationship of love. The love that God has for us is greater than any love a human, even a mother, can have for another being. God is greater than our temptations. God is greater than our sin. And God is greater than our scars. There are many of us that believe that God does forgive, but we still walk around with this little funny feeling inside of discomfort that, well, my sin was so bad, I'm not really sure. He's supposed to, and Scripture tells me he forgives me, but I sure don't feel it sometimes. We walk around like that. But God is greater, I thought for the day. God is greater than our scars. He can heal the scars on our souls from the things that we have done. He forgives sinners. He forgives you and me. But he also can heal the scars that we carry. And we all carry some that are there because of something someone else has done. He can heal those scars as well. The scars that we have caused and the scars that others have caused. Scars that have been left on our souls. God is greater than our sins and our temptations and even our scars. Some of you may have read one of several books written by Maxwell Maltz. He became a plastic surgeon, but he also wrote some books about, I think one of his first was Psycho-Cybernetics, which back in the 60s was one of the most popular books for a long time. And he told of a growing up in a neighborhood in New York that was one of the really bad slum areas. And he talked about a fella in the neighborhood named Mr. Cremona. And he owned a barbershop, and all the kids in the neighborhood loved the barbershop because it was nice and clean and tidy. And he had pictures all over, the Mona Lisa and other famous pictures. And he had pictures of the birth of Christ, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. Even a little picture of an empty tomb. And the kids would walk by and say hello, and he would say to one of the youngsters, "Come on in, your hair looks kind of shaggy. You need a haircut, a little trim. But I don't have any money." "Well, who said anything about money? Come on in, sit in my chair and I'll trim your hair a little." So the youngsters, particularly the little boys, would come in and sit in the chair, and while he was trimming away, Mr. Cremona would talk to them about our Lord Jesus Christ, including Maxwell Maltz. And when Maltz became a successful plastic surgeon, he still catered to the neighborhood. And one day, Mrs. Cremona came by to see him and said, "My husband would really like to see you, if you wouldn't mind stopping by." "Oh, no, I'll come by as soon as I close up the office today," which he did. And he went in, and there was Mr. Cremona in bed. And he said, "Come here, Doc. Come closer. My voice isn't very strong. I'm getting ready to go home. I'm near the end, but there's something I want to ask you to do for me. I'll pay you whatever I can." "Forget it. Money's no object. You've paid me enough already. What is it you want me to do for you?" "Well, see this big bushy mustache I've always worn? It's to cover up a great big scar on my upper lip. When I was a boy back in Sicily, another boy and I got into a fight, and he beat me up pretty bad and left this big scar, and I beat him pretty bad too, and he's got scars, and I'm going to be standing before my maker pretty soon, and this mustache isn't going to hide this scar from him. So I want you to use your skills and remove this scar from my lip so I can stand before God clean shaven." And the doctor looks at his face and lifts up the mustache and looks around and he says, "Well, I don't see anything. Are you sure this is where it was?" "Oh, yeah, right across my upper lip." And Dr. Maltz tells the audience to whom he's relating the story, "I looked hard, I looked everywhere, but there was no scar." Now, some of you might say, "Well, as we get older, our skin kind of tightens up sometimes and can remove things like that." But I'm here to tell you that I think that Mr. Cremona was such a good Christian that God took away that scar, and it is gone from his face and from his soul. God is greater. Greater than our temptations, greater than our sins, and greater than our scars. I assure you that this captain that we heard about at the beginning of this sermon was far off. But the captain that matters is never far off. He is right there with us. And when the plane starts falling apart, he's going to grab both halves and hold them together. He's going to hold you together. He's going to hold you close. Because God is greater. Greater than our sins, greater than our temptations, and greater than our scars. God protects us, God loves us, God forgives us. Listen and follow, for he knows you and loves you, now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.